Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Time stamp it. Yesterday, late morning, tweet goes out over social media. Sources: Cowboys owner Jerry Jones has spoken with Colorado head coach Deion Sanders about the team's head coaching vacancy, and discussions are expected to continue regarding the possibility of him becoming the next head coach in Dallas. Coach Prime considered a top candidate, although the Cowboys plan on interviewing other people. Prof, yeah. In some ways, this news, the fact that Jerry has reached out to Deion, completely overshadowed the fact that the Cowboys actually parted ways with Mike McCarthy yesterday. So it was almost like we have to work backwards. The first piece of news was McCarthy's out. Mm-hmm. And then you let the dust settle on that for like 5 minutes. And then here comes Jordan Schultz, top rope, with the big announcement that Deion Sanders is a top candidate for the job.
You know, it's funny. It sounds weird now, right? Deion Sanders. There was a period of time, and you guys might not remember. I want to take you back in the way back machine. In late October, early November, Deion Sanders was on fire at Colorado. It looked like Colorado was going to the playoff. And Dallas had a really high pick. So we were talking about, whoa, can they, you know, they weren't winning with Cooper Rush. Can they marry Shador Sanders, Deion Sanders, and the Cowboys? The Cowboys, unfortunately, started winning a bunch of games with Cooper Rush, and they fell out of the Shador sweepstakes. So, and they fell out of the Travis Hunter sweepstakes. So there was a time when we were actually talking about Deion and the Cowboys because it looked like they might be looking in the quarterback market, which is weird because they have Dak. So it's not that crazy, but now that they aren't going to get either of the kids, like then Deion, it felt like Deion would only coach in the NFL if he could coach Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter. He said that on Good Morning America last week. So this is why it's so weird. Why would they go to Deion and they didn't have his kids? Like, that's insane, right? It just sounds, that's a crazy thing. Like, Deion Sanders not coaching Shador and being the Dallas Cowboys coach, that feels way too much.
Well, unless it's the long game. You know, Jerry's been very, very loyal to coaches. And if you think that, all right, well, let's play this out. Say Shador, they're gonna funnel him somewhere, right? I don't think it's gonna be to Cleveland. I don't think that they're gonna allow him to go to Cleveland. Maybe he goes number one overall to Nashville. And maybe Deion's thinking, listen, let me get in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Let me get my feet wet here as an NFL coach, and either we'll find a way at some point to bring Shador to Dallas, or if I'm doing great with Dak Prescott, maybe I, at some point down the road, we team up. Like, I was never sure when Deion said, I want to coach my sons, if he meant immediately or just at some point down the road. Like, I watched Scott Turner and Norv Turner in the booth together, you know, like, for the Raiders. At some point, do you want to coach with your son? At some point, do you want to coach your son and team up? Did it have to be the first job I take is only going to be for Shador?
That's how I took it.
That's how I took it, too. But now I think this is a new wrinkle, and it's clear that Deion's leaving himself open for this. Now, there's another read on this, which is, Cowboys are going to go full Mannings on this, or Sanders are going to go full Mannings on this, which is, not only is it Shador's not going to Nashville and he's not going to Cleveland, he is going to Dallas, and we're just going to have to figure out how to get him there.
Right, but the Mannings had to go from 4-1, and unfortunately, the Cowboys have to jump up too far from 12-1 or 2. It can be done.
Unless it's multiple stops. Like, do you trade up from 12 to 5 and then from 5 to, you know, we've seen this before. Your Eagles did it. The San Francisco 49ers did it. I believe Miami did it at 1.2. You have to do a double jump.
So, well, let me ask you, though, going back.
And by
back,
the way, I actually didn't hate that. I'm not trying to pull out the receipts. But I did float it out. We actually asked Shireen Williams about it. And I was a little embarrassed because she, like, dismissed it so quickly, and I have so much respect for her. But I said, you could still have Shador on a very cheap contract. Dak Prescott, let's say he plays well next year coming off this injury, he boosts up his trade value, and then you have Dak as a trade chip and Shador sitting behind him. Dak is a very expensive bridge quarterback, was never totally out of the realm for me.
Well, Dak is an impossible trade chip. I think he might be the last player in the league.
Well, I looked at
him and Deshaun.
If it was a post June 1 designation after next year, it's only a dead cap hit of like $27 million. That's what I saw for the Cowboys. To trade Dak Prescott post June 1.
Why would a team? That sounds thin to me. Are you sure about that?
I'm just saying I went and looked at it because I made that point, and Dak is a very expensive bridge.
But I'm saying no team in the NFL, all 32 teams, you'd have to attach two first-round picks to take Dak Prescott's contract.
Or just money, because look at what happened with Russell Wilson and with the with Denver still paying the bulk of his contract, and they barely traded him for anything.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's ideal.
They traded a ton for Russell Wilson. What do you mean?
No, the Steelers, rather. Oh, so Denver is eating all that money, but the Steelers didn't really have to do anything. So if they didn't have to trade anything.
Yeah, I just don't think that seems very, very unlikely. Because Dak, the tendon came off his hamstring.
I'm just saying, we saw it. Russell Wilson's stock was extremely low, too. Steelers took a flyer on him, and now look what it did. Denver has Bo Nix. They're moving forward with Nix, and you have Russ out of the building. I could see a world, if this Deion thing is serious, and it's the report that Jerry Jones and Deion Sanders spoke yesterday about the head coaching opening, and if Shador has to be part of this as well, then Dak Prescott plays next year, Shador is sitting there as the backup, and you're grooming Shador for the future.
Yeah, you'd kill to get Shador in Dallas, but it's not. You can't get from 12 to 2 this year. Because how are you going to, the Niners have all these picks. I just can't see that happening. Besides, I do think that the top three teams, Titans, Browns, Giants, all need quarterbacks. And you have the Raiders at 6. Like, there's no way. Like, you could not force those teams' hands.
Okay, so maybe it's just Deion's looking at it. I mean, maybe that whole Shador thing is for down the line.
No, I think he stays at Colorado because of this.
Because of what?
Because he's not going to go to Dallas without his kid. I think he's more likely to stay at Colorado. I think ultimately he stays at Colorado. I don't think he takes this job. Do you?
You know, I think there's two questions here. I think the first one is, could this work? So let's pause on that.
Wow, that's a big question.
Right. So let's talk about, could this work? You know, I think Shador being gone into the NFL now, and Deion still being at Colorado, there could be a little of looking around like, what am I doing here?
Sure.
You know, I'm here now. I'm just coaching at Colorado, and this is what I'm going to do. I don't know how that feels very temporary to me.
I don't know. I feel like I disagree with that. I think it's kind of attractive, but I hear you. I mean, he's got the top three transfer quarterback, got the number one high school recruit. Like, it seems like he's doing something there to me.
Okay, and they had 4 wins this year, and I understand that. No, they had 6 wins this year.
Pardon. No. They had at least eight.
I know. Yeah. Wait, sorry. Hold on. They had 4 wins the first year.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's obviously been better. He's getting better.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But here's the thing. You're saying that he's got the top recruit and the top guy from the transfer portal and all that. That's so temporary.
Yeah, they were 9-4 this year.
9-4, thank you.
Yeah.
The thing is you have to keep recruiting those guys. This is what burns a lot of these coaches out now.
But Deion has a special connection to the sort of high school, college community because that's what he was getting, because his kids were going through it.
Sure.
He got his hands deep into that. Like, he knows these guys really well.
That's fine. It doesn't mean you don't have to re-recruit them every year. Nothing has changed about the NIL and staying on top of them and losing guys in the transfer portal and poaching other guys. Like, you can know high school is as good as anybody. That's still your reality.
Well, I just think that Deion has such a recruiting edge because he's Deion. So I think I think that's an attractive formula to him. Like, you can't recruit in the NFL. Right. You're stuck by the salary cap and free agency and the draft. So I think he's like, well, I can use my charisma to get better players at Colorado. I can't do that at Dallas. So that might be if you're doing a pro-con list, to me, like, he is always going to get the top quarterback. He's Deion Sanders. He gets guys paid. I mean, not only are they going to have big NIL collective money, like, you get national commercials if you're Deion Sanders' quarterback. I think it's very attractive.
Sure. And, you know, but again, it feels to me a little bit temporary without Shador there.
Yeah, I mean, it is a loss without Travis Hunter and Shador. You're absolutely right. But, I mean, it seems like they're getting good. Like, there are a lot of good players there.
Okay, so let's ask the question,
great left tackle. They have a great wide receiver.
Okay, well, we see what it is in college.
Yeah.
Do we think it could work with the Dallas Cowboys?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Jerry Jones. I just don't think the Cowboys, I don't think any coach is going to work there. To quote my friend Troy Aikman, he's like, It's not a good setup right now.
Troy Aikman did say yesterday he did not think that this was a coveted job, I think is the way that he said it, right? Doesn't think this is a coveted job.
Also, too, they're in a tough spot. They have a lot of money spent on certain guys who are getting older. They have a lot of injury problems, like deep injury problems. I just think I don't think Deion could win there immediately, and I think he knows that, too.
Okay, so there's a thought that maybe this is all for show. I think that Deion could do well here. I do, because I think one thing that Deion has really impressed me, I've been impressed by him in terms of his college coaching, is his ability to bring in really high-level assistants. He's got good guys coaching on his staff, and I think there's a Deion appeal. And so Deion being the culture setter, the leader of men, the all that stuff you want and teams say they want from a head coach, right? And then your ability to bring in really top-level assistants to implement your plan. This is a winning formula. And I think Deion has that formula. I was skeptical. Pat Shurmur, Warren Sapp. I'm like, what's this going to be? I think he actually has found a – he coaches his coaches well, I think. And so why wouldn't that translate and come over from college to the pros?
Great point. It's just because the Cowboys – just do not have the roster or the structure where it's going to work. Maybe if everything falls right, they're 10-7 next year with Deion. Just the odds of him turning that team into a Super Bowl team seem really thin to me.
Okay, 855-212-4227. Can Deion Sanders work as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Perloff, you just don't think anyone's going to work. It's kind of hard to have this conversation with you because it's like, if you don't think anybody and Jerry will never, ever win, then they should have just stayed with McCarthy.
I think that you did convince me a little bit. Like, Deion, somebody's going to come in here, rip the Band-Aid and reload. They need a classic rebuild. Like, they don't need, whatever they're doing is not working. They've just been stuck in limbo forever for 30 years.
Oh, I get it.
So they need to, Jerry's got to let go of control of the personnel, which he will not probably do. Steven probably has to let go to a certain extent. They need to bring in like a Bill Parcells type again, which they did at the late 90s because they needed a new stadium and they needed to win some games. They need to just let total control go. And I don't think Deion's really necessarily the man for that. Like, they need a full team builder. Remember the miracle of the Meadowlands in 1978? About
how could I forget?
65 years before.
Yeah, Manny
when
was born.
It got so bad that the Giants just said, you know what? Everything we're doing, we have to just, everybody's fired.
Yep.
We're bringing in a whole new team, and they brought in George Young and Parcells. Like, the Cowboys need to rip down to the bolts and start over again. And they can't do that because there's so much pressure on them to win every year. And I just don't think, Deion did do that at Colorado. He did it successfully. But I just think the assignment's too hard. Honestly, if Deion might even be better off at the Raiders. If he really wants to coach in the NFL, join Shador or maybe Travis in Vegas. Like, I just think the Cowboys, where that team is right now and where Deion is now, everything you said, I totally agree with your points. And not only that, Deion's great at sharing credit. Like, he'll bring in the coordinators. He would be a good guy for this, but I don't think it will work. And there'll be so much attention on this team and so much pressure that eventually, he would not be my first choice.
Listen, the circus aspect, the idea that this is all for show, there's a high probability that this thing just spins totally off the rails. We're in a social media age right now. Michael Parsons got a podcast, and Jerry's got his radio hits on Tuesdays and Fridays, and now Deion's here talking to the media every day. And there's a possibility that this is just so combustible and every little thing gets taken out of context or whatever, and it just can never, ever work. There's also a world where what this team is really lacking is, you said it, like the alpha of all alphas. Someone who can somehow out-alpha Jerry, where I'm the top of the food chain and everything comes from me and it's not Jerry. And it's telling Micah Parsons, you know, don't say this on your pod or something like that, right? Or however you want to get everyone to fall in line. And he, honestly, Deion wouldn't say don't do your podcast. He'll say, I'll be a guest on your podcast. Like, he's very media friendly. But maybe there's a world where Deion's star actually shines brighter than Jerry's. And while that could be hard for Jerry to compete with, maybe he realizes, hey, one of the most famous football players of all time is going to be the face of the team. And that's it.
But
that would in some ways be a major departure from how Jerry has run things in the past, where he's got to be the center of attention. Maybe he has a different type of respect for Deion, where he's not going to be in the locker room after losses talking for 40 minutes with the media. You know, maybe he's not going to, and maybe he's just going to let Deion coach.
Yeah, see, I don't see that. That's not what I see is really the problem with the Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
They have, I think, three or four big problems. One, they can't find a receiving complement to CeeDee Lamb. That's number one. Number two, Dak can't run anymore. That's a huge problem, a massive, massive problem. Number three, they lost Overshawn and Trayvon Diggs for next year.
Yeah, so you're just talking about personnel.
The personnel, that's the problem. It's not because Micah Parsons on a podcast, but that, and why is their personnel broken? Because of Jerry Jones. And I just don't think Deion's going to come in and all of a sudden fix all their personnel problems. It's been the GM problem. It's not been the coaching problem.
855-212-4227. And even this whole thing feels backwards a little bit because I don't understand. Now, Deion Sanders is a candidate to be the head coach of the Cowboys. Why did it take a week for the Cowboys and Mike McCarthy to part ways? You've had the guy, and he's been coaching your team for 5 years. 5 years. You've been through everything with him. This is Dak's second injury with Mike McCarthy. You've had good defenses. You've had bad defenses. You've won playoff games. You've lost playoff games. You've done everything you can possibly go through, all the ups and downs you can go through with a head coach, you've gone through with Mike McCarthy. That you needed this week to unpack everything, to decide whether or not you want him to be your head coach moving forward, that to me is so alarming. And it's yet another instance of Jerry waiting till the absolute last second to make a move on something. And it's so reactive. There's nothing proactive about it. It makes no sense.
Yeah. Can I introduce you to Jerry Jones and Dallas Cowboys?
They keep making this mistake.
You said alarming. The word is predictable.
Making these guys coach until the last day of their contract is just insane. He did it with Jason Garrett. He did it now with McCarthy. McCarthy's like exclusivity literally ran out at midnight last night, and they made the decision yesterday. This is that's just crazy to me. And then the second part is the inaction, right? Sitting on Dak and then ultimately giving him the biggest contract ever for a quarterback. Sitting on CeeDee Lamb and then ultimately giving him the second highest contract for a wide receiver. Dragging your feet on this decision with McCarthy. All of it just reeks of just someone who doesn't want to operate on anyone else's timeline. But meanwhile, the world moves on and things happen that impact your franchise.
Those are bad, but saying you're going to go all in and then not signing anybody, what is the number one major mistake? And you seem disappointed that I went in personnel decisions. What's the biggest mistake they've had in 30 years since Jimmy Johnson left the building? Derrick Henry this offseason.
Like letting Jimmy Johnson leave the building, but yeah.
They didn't sign Derrick Henry this offseason. Like, he said, I'm going all in, then he went all out. I mean, all out. He said, I'm not participating in any of this offseason crap. Like, Jerry's just like completely out of it as a GM right now. And that's a big problem. That's why Deion, I think, is nervous about this team. I don't think he thinks he has the guys.
855-212-4227. All right, so we got two big pieces of news yesterday. Number one, Mike McCarthy's out. Number two, Deion Sanders is a top candidate. That's how Jordan Schultz worded it. Top candidate.
I mean, what's the deal with Deion and the Raiders?
I haven't heard.
Because I would think Deion would want that job first, right?
I mean, at least in Dallas, you have a quarterback, you got an edge rusher, and you have a great receiver.
Well, he lives in Dallas, so that's a huge... He loves Jerry. He was a Cowboy. But I do think the pull, like... I think he thinks he can make the leap to get Shador in Vegas. That to me, if I'm, I feel like that's still overwhelmingly his number one priority. I want to coach my kids. He's making it very clear.
Yes.
So if he has a better chance, like if he can get up with the Raiders, and you know, by the way, Titans, if Deion calls him and say, hey, can you fire that Callahan guy and bring me in? I don't know. I just think that there might be better fits. I think Deion doesn't really work in Dallas to me at all. Like, he's going to watch Shador. Like, he's going to be traveling to watch his son play on Sundays. He's like, if Dallas plays on Monday night, you know he's going to be in the crowd watching Shador.
I mean, isn't he supposed to be watching tape of Baylor?
He's like LeBron. LeBron has become more sports dad than actually sports player over the last 5 years. It is. I think it's just an odd situation. And I think he wasn't lying to Robin Roberts. I think he really does want to coach his kids.
I think the LeBron thing is part of this. It's Archie Manning with Eli and wanting him to go to New York over San Diego. And I do think LeBron getting Bronny drafted, I think Deion's like, I'm just as famous, powerful as all those guys. Like, why wouldn't I try to steer my son to a place where I can coach him? And maybe the Cowboys are on that list. I don't know. 855-212-4227. All right, can this work? Deion and the Cowboys. I also have the coach the Cowboys should hire. I'm not saying that Deion can't work. I actually will. I'll leave space for that. I don't think it's such a terrible idea. But I have the coach that the Cowboys should hire if Deion decides to say no or this doesn't work.
Ooh, spicy.
The number one person who should be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's not even close, by the way. Once you really think about it, the perfect candidate is out there. And I've got it. 855-212-4227.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Oh, welcome back. The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DoD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Defensive Player of the Week, chosen by E.J. Stewart. I know who you're going with, and I think you're making the wrong choice.
I mean, is it easy? Is it Jared Verse from last night at a nice 57-yard scoop and score? Kind of put the nail in the coffin for the Vikings season.
He's fast. Oh, I thought you were going to go Derek Stingley, two picks for the Texans. But that is, because we were talking about him on yesterday's show, I think it should be the other cornerback, Kamari Lassiter, who is the tone setter for that Texans defense. It is a star. I love both. The Texans defense is my jam right now. But I think that's who you should choose. But I think he chooses Stingley. His two interceptions was pretty great, too.
Yeah.
I had Jared Verse be great. Jared Verse was on fire last night.
I don't know. I'm looking at EJ. I'm trying to read his mind. We haven't done a lot of women's hoops in a while.
Certainly wasn't a Nick after last night against the Pistons.
Can't do
that. Fly kite, buddy.
Is there anything left over from, we still are in the college football season.
Oh,
it feels like a long time ago.
It's got to be either Jack Sawyer with the big play for Ohio State, or maybe Caleb Downs, who actually had the big tackle on second down with the sweep toss. But then it was Sawyer who returned the fumble for a touchdown.
Downs came back to earth on, I thought he did not have a great game. But anyway, who do you have, EJ?
I feel like my answer was on Twitter. Maggie clearly was paying attention because.
Here's Ewers, snap, hit by Sawyer, ball's loose. Sawyer comes up with it, running down the right sideline, 40 to the 50-yard line. Sawyer to the 30, Jack Sawyer to the 20, to the 10, to the end zone, touchdown, Jack Sawyer.
Jack Sawyer is the Navy Federal Defensive Player of the Week, and it was because of that game-changing, really game-ending play on his former college roommate.
Yep.
Did anyone know that? They said it about 100 times on the broadcast. Former college roommate takes the ball out of Ken Ewers' hands, then on one fell swoop picks the ball up and takes it about 95 yards for a touchdown that sealed Ohio State's win in the Cotton Bowl, sending them to the national championship game. And I love Jack Sawyer because of how Gus Johnson says his name.
Captain Jack!
Captain Jack! Jack Sawyer is the Defensive Player of the Week.
It's a great choice.
Captain Jack!
I mean, nothing.
Only you would not be impressed by what was one of the greatest defensive plays we've seen in college football history.
Strip sacking Quinn Ewers, Manny could do that. I mean, come on. Texas was crumbling in that drive.
How many offensive linemen for Texas are actually going to the NFL? A lot more
than
you would think by watching that game.
You could see the fear. Quinn Ewers dropped back, and I know he got like, get out of here. They were panicking on that last drive.
What are you impressed by?
Nothing.
I was impressed by Will Anderson and Derek Stingley, like the Texans defense. And last night, by the way, the Rams.
Too.
I was impressed by the Rams defense, too. They looked like they were just on hair on fire the whole night.
The Chargers and the Vikings O-lines and that disaster we saw, you were impressed by that?
Are you crazy? Yes, I was totally impressed. You know, you're not impressed by Will Anderson?
No, I am impressed. I'm saying that the fact that you're not impressed by a guy winning a freaking semifinal game with a game on the line on fourth down with a strip sack, pick up the ball, run 95 yards, don't get caught. He was flying down the field.
It's like the play of his career.
Yeah, and they were like, you know, Jared Verse had a great game. Like, yeah, he did, but like also that was also really good too, is my point. That's what
Captain
I'm saying.
Jack!
No, it's a great play. But by the way, you just sold out the offensive line of the Vikings and the Chargers. I mean,
well, look, my guy O'Neal on that right side, he was having major issues with, and he got hurt in the game, which was unfortunate. He was having major issues with Verse. like he was dead on arrival to start the game. I don't know why. He's really good right tackle. And then the left tackle they got came in, you know, after Darisaw got hurt, also struggled.
Yeah, it was rough last night.
I think the Texans defense is building to be all time. I think they're going to be that's a Super Bowl defense.
And maybe Chiefs tackle is a little vulnerable here. I don't know. 855-212-4227. We'll see. We got a lot of time to preview that game. Meanwhile, we're talking about the big news yesterday on the coaching front, which is that Mike McCarthy is out as Dallas Cowboys head coach, never got a contract extension, never even talked contract extension. He and Jerry just couldn't see eye to eye philosophically on where the team was headed. Sure. Now Deion Sanders has emerged as the top candidate, according to our pal Jordan Schultz. I have the perfect candidate for the Cowboys. Not that Deion couldn't work. I'm leaving myself open to that. But I have the perfect candidate. We'll tell you after Adrian in Maryland gives his thoughts on this Cowboys now coaching search. Hey, Adrian, what's up?
Hey, longtime Cowboys fan. I'm on both sides of this Deion thing. I want them to hire him just so they look like clowns in a circus, more that they are. And I want Deion to fail because then Jerry will figure out that this job is not for him. He needs to sell the team and do whatever he has to do to get out of there. I told one of my friends, the only thing why Jerry Jones, why the NFL hasn't pushed him out is because he makes him so much money.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the media, you guys have fallen into this trap. We're on, there's what, four games coming up this week in the wild card. There was just six games wild card. And guess what we're talking about? We're talking about the Cowboys team that not in running for the Super Bowl. Which is, it's just crazy to me.
Adrian, hold on one second. I know the people don't like it when it seems like the media has an obsession with Dallas Cowboys. And I totally understand. But I got to be honest with you. The reason why is because you are calling from Maryland and you identified yourself as a lifelong Cowboy fan. You guys are everywhere. You're everywhere. We have to serve you.
You guys help us out. You guys help us out with this a little bit. Because, like I said, I hate listening to and seeing things about Dallas on the news or on sports channels that has nothing to do – well, it has a lot to do with football, but what's going on in the sports world? I'm a sports fan. I love the Cowboys. But I don't want to see them during wild card when they're not. Wait. They don't have a chance to get to the Super Bowl.
Adrian, you're going to push out Jerry – why would you push out Jerry Jones? There's 10 worse owners off the top of my head.
Perloff, really? Why would I push him out?
I mean, at least a guy who wins double-digit games. Like, why aren't you going to push out Tepper or Mark Davis or all those idiots?
Perloff, understand, when you said that they need to just be a bad, bad team, they were 7-10 this year, and we talk like they were the worst team in the league.
Right, but there's a lot of worse owners.
They did more with less than some of the teams. They had the New York Jets was fully healthy, better roster, and they, won four or five games? If Jerry would just step aside and let other people do. This sounds like the Johnny Manziel thing. Remember Stephen Jones stepped in and he said, we can't draft this guy? This has got to be what Stephen Jones has to come in and say. We cannot hire Deion as a coach.
Adrian, it sounds like you probably thought that Mike McCarthy was doing a good job. And I think that McCarthy did not overachieve with this roster. Micah Parsons was hurt early. Dak Prescott got hurt late. They said they were going to go all in. They never did. They gave him no upgrades, essentially. And we were asking a lot from young guys, especially on the offensive line and on the defense. And what happened? They were overmatched in a lot of cases. Couldn't stop the run.
Yeah, I mean, but they were still 7-10. If you're going to, Maggie, I know you have some issues with owners. Like, if you're going to start pushing out owners, I'm not sure where Jerry comes on the list. I know exactly what Adrian's saying, but there's clearly some really bad owners around the NFL right now.
Oh, my gosh. Do you realize, though, the threshold of what you need to do to get kicked out of the NFL?
Well,
Dan Snyder, multiple lawsuits. David Tepper was asking women if he could shave their legs. Or not David Tepper. Jerry Richardson was asking women if he could shave their legs. Like, this is disgusting.
No, but Adrian was saying, forget all that. He was saying you should kick him out because he's not good at running a football team anymore. Like, if that was the
criteria,
there'd be so many other people to kick out before Jerry.
No doubt.
It's funny. I think the NFC is on the rise because there's so many bad owners in the AFC. I look at, like, Like, sorry, the Browns. Look at the draft this year. The Browns, the Titans, the Jets. Like, there's messes all over this ownership circle. And why would you ever let go of the team? Anyway.
I mean, look at Miami. They got docked a draft pick because their owner was tampering. Although, I guess some people probably like the fact that he was trying to get Tom Brady and Sean Payton on board.
That may actually turn out to be the smartest thing he ever tried to do.
All right. I do have the perfect candidate for the Cowboys. It's going to have to wait for a second because Andrew Bogus is sitting here patiently. We have headlines to get to.
And guys, you've mentioned his name more than once already this segment. A reminder that I knew of Jared Verse before he was Jared Verse.
Darnold against the rush. Blitz coming. He's hit. Ball down. Scooped up. Fired up. Vierge got it. Jared Verse has it. Down the right sideline with blockers. 10-5.
Touchdown.
A leap in the end zone. The defensive rookie of the year with a scoop.
J.B. Long on Rams radio versus a 57-yard TD. The highlight of the Rams' first half destruction of Sam Darnold and the Vikings. L.A. led 24-3 halfway through this wild card game in Arizona. They won 27-9, sacking Darnold in NFL postseason record time 9 times. The former UAlbany Great Dane, though, couldn't do his TD celebration that he had planned.
I told him 1,000 times, I said, if I ever get a touchdown, I'm going to tweak out. But I was too tired. I was too far away. I was expecting it to be on like the goal line, so I was going to dunk on the field goal post, but I was too tired. I just had to jump in.
So he wanted to dunk, ran out of gas, so he dove and flipped across the goal line instead.
It always scares the bejesus out of me when guys do that.
Oh,
I know. The forward flip.
Yeah, I know.
Not even for the fumbling purposes. I'm like, are you going to hurt your back or tweak your neck or something?
They're quite athletic. It does seem like that never ends up in injury. I always afraid the fumble at the goal line is the worst thing that can happen in the world to me. I think the Eagles, by the way, watched Jared Verse play last night. If Nick Sirianni was watching, they are not going to drop back and pass more than 3 times the entire game. They're just like, Saquon, you do this. We're not having that guy scream at us off the edge. Like, right? That pass rush was kind of terrifying.
Well, but think about how they did it. They were trying to hand off to Aaron Jones, and he was running into
a wall.
So now you're sitting at 3rd and 8. And what do you think was going to happen? Darnold got sacked all the way back to New York.
Well, not only that, they were down 27-9 with 9 minutes left in the game, and they were handing it to Aaron Jones, which was bizarre. I think Kevin O'Connell kind of lost his mind last night. But I do think the Rams are a very good pass rush team. That's why my Eagles, I've been scouting all night. I was up till 3 in the morning coming up with a game plan. I think I got it solved. Hand the ball to Saquon Barkley.
You fax that into headquarters?
Yeah. I have all these extra charts. I'm like, okay. Do that 26, give him the ball. Let him do this thing. That's their best chance.
According to Next Gen Stats, Jared Verse reached 19.88 miles per hour.
He was flying. He looked like Reggie Bush. And then he did the somersault afterwards. Like I thought we were at USC.
Here's Darnold on being harassed all night by that pass rush.
I'm 100% responsible for the football and what happens to it. And for me, it's up to me to be able to feel that and either step up, move, go run for a first down, or just simply throw it away. You know, I felt like, there were a lot of sacks today that I was responsible for.
The 9 sacks cost Minnesota 82 yards plus those points. Darnold also threw a pick in his 2nd straight dud. The Rams now go home to L.A. for a while before playing in Philadelphia on Sunday. The Lakers and Clippers were back home last night. The Clips got a 109-98 win over the Heat, while the Lakers lost to the Spurs 126-102. J.J. Redick's team has now dropped 3 straight, but he's not sure how hard he should be on his guys at the moment.
I think I always try to give grace to myself, the staff, our players. Doesn't mean you don't critique, and it doesn't mean you don't tell the truth. And we've had for 3 games now a real slippage defensively.
Don't know if you guys saw this, but Wemby and Chris Paul signed their jerseys last night in the JJ's kids who were sitting courtside at the game.
That's is that problematic? Nice. Or is that, you're saying in a good way?
In a good way.
Like they just lost their house.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Sorry.
J.J. Redick lost his house in the horrible L.A. fires.
Yeah, I saw some people killing the Lakers' effort last night. I'm like, come on, guys. What are we doing? I mean, we know. I know the Clippers did win the other night, but, like, we know what's going on here.
Oh, it distracted?
Yeah. I mean, the Rams played great again. Shout out to them. But first game back at the Crypt, I was not surprised they got smoked.
They also haven't played since in a week, basically.
Was that?
Those of them played in a week,
right,
too.
They played in a week. And I think that's what J.J. was referring to, some of that, giving the guys grace. Like,
well, the thing about the Rams, not to turn it back to that, which is the practice schedule. You know, what's the air quality like right now, which was a situation they were talking about before, and just guys are just distracted. How could you not be?
Well, I also do, by the way, the Rams face, like, there was a good point earlier in the show. Like, this is Monday night going, they have to go to Philly cross country on Sunday with all this going on, and who knows how much they're dealing with at home. That this is one where the Rams probably shouldn't have botched the first part of the season, because you don't want to go on the road to Philly. I think the Rams are a better team, but they, how does this team get organized in 5 days with everything that's going on?
The Monday night game is not good.
It's not really fair.
Yeah, I know the Rams won a, I think they won a Super Bowl the year they played the Monday night game. They beat the Cardinals, right? And then they went on. I mean, I don't know. I don't know why they still have
Monday night game in Arizona.
Nobody cares about the schedule anymore. Ever since COVID, it's like, play on a Wednesday. You're going to play on a Tuesday. You're going to play whatever. This is obviously, you know, this was planned. But, I don't think the NFL cares. Like, just get up and play again.
Yeah, yeah. With the extra thing of the disaster, too. I think that just adds, like, short week, and also you're dealing with extra stuff. That being said, the Rams have this sort of young, oblivious feel to them. It didn't feel like it affected them last night. I think maybe if you're, like, 23, you're Jared Verse, you can compartmentalize. I don't know. Maybe, or you rally, galvanizes them. Of course, I'm still scouting for the Eagles.
Yes,
trying to figure out the mental state of my opponent.
They appreciate your efforts.
Yes.
You can tell.
You don't like my go right Saquon, go left Saquon? That's the best strategy.
Yeah, you're basically Big Dom.
Howie Rose has you on speed dial.
Big Dom is the basically running the show there. That's the greatest compliment you guys ever gave me. You think I'm as good as Big Dom?
Thanks for that, Maggie.
Wow.
You look like him, too.
It's so funny.
Body levels. I wish I looked like Big Dom. I'm like skinny Dom.
Like Skinny Pearl. Last thing from me, we're told the Dodgers, Padres, and Blue Jays are the finalists for young Japanese righty Roki Sasaki. He can sign with somebody as soon as tomorrow morning. Guys, back to you now.
Bogish, thanks so much. Okay, coming up, more on Deion Sanders' interest. Maybe there's a mutual interest between Deion and Jerry Jones for Deion to be the next head coach of the Cowboys.
All in.
That may work, but I have the actual best candidate for the Dallas Cowboys. We'll reveal that next. It's M&P. Dallas Cowboys, Deion Sanders. Could it happen? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Mike McCarthy out of the way now. Team decided to part ways. Now Deion Sanders, according to our pal Jordan Schultz, top candidate to take over.
Wait, is it the top candidate or a top candidate?
A top candidate.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because everybody's top candidates coming into this whole cycle were Mike Vrabel and Ben Johnson. I'm not sure that Dallas attracts those guys. Like, Vrabel already took the job with the Patriots, but it's interesting. Like, I think it's not just a one-way street. Like, these guys also want to have to coach in Dallas.
Sure. Now, there are a lot of attractive things about Dallas. There really are. And
like what?
Well, you do have one of the best pass rushers in the league. You have a great receiver. You have a quarterback. We'll see how Dak Prescott is coming off of surgery. But as we were saying after this wild card round, I mean, Dak Prescott's suddenly not looking so bad considering some of the bad quarterback play we've seen. So, you know, I think that Deion is very intriguing. I think it could work. I think it could be great. However, if you're asking me who should be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, who the actual best candidate is for this job, Perloff, there's one name and one name only.
I can't wait. Who?
It's Aaron Glenn. Now think about it. Aaron Glenn, Texas-born, played for the Cowboys, amongst other teams. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions right now, a defense that's gotten better and better every single year. Aaron Glenn was one of the architects of one of the worst home losses that the Dallas Cowboys have suffered. In fact, it was the worst home loss that the Dallas Cowboys suffered since 1988. And that was when the Lions went into Jerry World and thumped the Cowboys 47-9. Aiden Hutchinson got hurt in that game. Lions didn't skip a beat. Dak Prescott didn't even finish that game. Cooper Rush finished the game. And it wasn't because Dak was injured. That happened later. He was out. Aaron Glenn took Dak Prescott out of the game. Such a blowout, Dak took a seat. Jerry Jones in the building to watch his team get their butts kicked worse than they have since he bought the team. That will leave an impression on somebody. And as we know about Jerry, he's scouting in the building. He's there. He's watching front row. We talked about the college football playoff, the Cotton Bowl. He was going to be there. Is he scouting Sark? Is he going to be scouting, you know, these college coaches, guys who come in? He's always paying attention. Well, how about the guy who came in and made your team look like fools? That was Aaron Glenn. You're not getting Campbell. I don't know about Ben Johnson, but I think Aaron Glenn is actually the better candidate here. And you get the defensive side with Aaron Glenn, and then you have a guy who's been in the building watching the Detroit offense do their thing for years. So you don't think that the defensive coordinator for a team is paying attention to what the offense of his team is doing? That's his whole job, is to study offenses and find out how to stop them. So now I've got somebody who I can take elements of the Detroit offense if I want, which is explosive, and if I run into Detroit, which I hope I'm going to do in the playoffs, I maybe have a little inside scoop. I got a little inside knowledge. And I know the Packers very well, and I know the Bears well, and I know the Vikings well, and I know the 49ers well. Aaron Glenn checks every single box for the Cowboys, and on top of it, there's not going to be the who's more famous, who's going to outshine Jerry. Aaron Glenn doesn't care about that. That's not Aaron Glenn. He's not going to compete for the spotlight with Micah Parsons. He's just going to coach the team. Aaron Glenn, Cowboy fans, you're welcome. He's the perfect candidate. EJ, you don't look convinced.
I mean, I want him for the Jets, so, or at least it'd be an option for the Jets, so I'm a little worried about that. I just feel like if you want someone from the Lions, why not Ben Johnson? Like that's,
yeah, by the way, also
that's
too,
the
like,
problem I have.
I'm sorry, I don't want Aaron Glenn for the Jets or the Cowboys, because why would you hire a defensive guy for either of those teams? Like,
did you see the Saints run all over the Dallas Cowboys? Hiring the defensive side is not a terrible idea.
Unless it's like a real innovator like Belichick. Like, I feel like Aaron Glenn is interviewing for every job. It's just like another hire.
Oh, I don't think so.
You don't think like...
The Detroit Lions defense was a laughingstock. And look at what he was able to do this season. And I mean, again, against the Cowboys. And I know how much this means to Jerry. You handed Jerry his worst home loss since 1988. Dak Prescott left the game. You smoked
him. Well, you just said, I mean, so were they going to hire Dennis Allen? I mean, the Saints smoked him too. But I just think like Aaron Glenn is, he's interviewed for every job or been offered pretty
much
every
job. Patriots, yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just feels like a name. Is it really, don't you need something radical here? That feels like everything you just said makes too much sense, if that makes any sense.
But he's not outside the box enough for you?
I think he'd be a good hire. I just feel like, I don't know. I just think that, I think Ben Johnson, that's the guy I want, and that's who I think would make more sense.
Here's the thing about Ben Johnson. I'm going to say it over and over again. You don't know what Ben Johnson is going to be like without Dan Campbell. I know what Aaron Glenn's going to be like without Dan Campbell. You don't know what Ben Johnson's going to be. Is he going to go for fourth downs as much as Dan Campbell? Is he going to be able to wear the criticism like Dan Campbell? Let's not forget, Lions lose to the 49ers after that 3-score lead. Some jabronis showed up to Dan Campbell's home with his daughter there. This is not for the faint. Look at Brandon Staley. He was Mr. Go for it on fourth down, started getting criticized to the high heavens, and then all of a sudden he stopped going for it on fourth down, or sometimes would. Dan Campbell does not get enough, I think, credit for sticking to his guns. You don't know if Ben Johnson's going to do that. He's never been in the top spot.
Why do you know if Aaron Glenn's going to do it?
Well, but I think Aaron Glenn, you know what you're getting with him, because I don't think Dan Campbell is coming in and deciding Aaron Glenn's biggest play calls in the biggest moments.
Yeah.
I think Dan Campbell is deciding whether you're going for it on fourth down. You have no idea if Ben Johnson's going to be Dan Campbell light. Is he going to be conservative? You have no clue.
You need the next Sean McVay. You definitely don't need. I mean, it's been forever since a defensive coordinator has really done anything. I mean, this is an offensive league. Also, Detroit's defense was meh this year. You think it was good? I know they had injuries, but they were definitely bottom half of the league.
I don't know. Buffalo Bills have a head coach who's a defensive guy. And
they're the exception.